Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain, and that's what led the team behind the best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews to create their new Superbeats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Mr. President, how fast were you going?
Well, okay, I'm just going to step on it. I'll come off at 80 miles an hour. You'll see what it is, okay? Ready?
Mr. President, can I ask you a quick question on Israel before you drive away?
No, you can't. Not unless you get in front of the car as I step on it. I'm only teasing. Okay, here we go. You ready?
See it, sir.
Ready?
Well,
it's almost like nothing bad's happening in the world.
No, I know. It's almost like nothing. Yeah, nothing's going down. It's almost like the same press that like lost their minds over Trump making a joke. I was listening to some. By the way, welcome to the show. I'm in a bad mood, and 20-year-olds are the cause of it. And I swear to heaven, test your mother. DanaLash.com is the website. Make sure you go and subscribe to the newsletter. I just listened before I came out here to some of the stupidest commentary I had the unfortunate burden of listening to before I came out. So a number of things have contributed to me being cranky pants. Okay, the least among them, it was legs, and I hate the world right now. But I was listening to, and I can't even remember who it was. Somebody was talking. I know Gianna was one of the other guys. I think it was on Fox, and it was just some of the stupidest commentary that I've ever heard in my life with one of these that was coming out of one of these contributors. And it had to do with this particular soundbite. I'm not in this to make friends. Oh, please do not mistake me. And it had to do with this soundbite and how. Is the press going to hold Biden accountable the same way that they did Trump? Because the Washington Post took away their lie detector. They had a whole section on the Washington Post. They took it away because they're like, oh, the lies are gone now. We don't need to hold the president accountable. We only did that during the first 100 days. It's gone now. We don't need it anymore. And so they took that away. He makes this joke and the topic was brought up that, oh, well, you know, it's, you know, when Trump was joking about being on Fifth Avenue, et cetera, people still love him, blah, blah, blah. All this stupid stuff. And the commentary, the response was, oh, well, that's, yes, but let's look at all the bad stuff Trump did to the press. And, you know, Joe Biden, he talks about supporting a free press. Oh, my hell, excuse me? I'm sorry, girl, can we just take like 1-2 steps back, at least out of arm's reach? Because that's, no. First off, let me remind everybody, under the Obama-Biden administration, they made dealings between the presidential office and the press look like something that was done between Maduro and the not really free press in Venezuela. If you want to have that conversation, let's talk about all the times that the Obama-Biden administration abused using the Espionage Act to target and persecute journalists who were simply writing truthful stories about their actions in the White House. Let's have that conversation if you want to talk about who's persecuting a free press or who's not persecuting a free press or who respects it or who doesn't. They wiretapped AP reporters. They went in, they got their emails. They were going for wiretaps. All of this. They went after a friend of mine, James Rosen. They took his parents' phone records. Why? Because his honest reporting was unflattering to the administration because their actions were stupid. So if we want to have a discussion, Joe Biden talks a really good game about liking the free press. Look how much he likes the free press. Did y'all forget about the time that he tried to throw you in jail? Literally? Abusing the Espionage Act because you were simply writing fair and accurate stories? Miss me with this whole discussion about, oh, he talks about maybe free press. This is why I can't stand. This is why I halfway hate almost all political punditry. Who the hell goes to college to be a pundit? Who does that? That is so stupid. If you're a parent and you have, let me just be honest with you. This is not how I wanted to start the show today. Because my oldest child's in college. And I guess because what? I do what I do. And my son has similar political leanings. What? That it's supposed to be a silver spoon in his mouth? And that, no, you will learn. And I had one group reach out to me one time. And I told them because of their request, I never wanted to hear from them again. Because I said, your request is stupid. Your organization, your views are myopic. And the fact that you're going to sit here and the only credential this child has is getting lucky as to who his parents are. And you think that that's a credential? I'm like, I would do everything in my power to prevent my child from working with you. And I will do everything in my power to make sure y'all can't grift on any more donations because this is stupid. This is just fame whoring. That's all it is. So we ended our conversation. Who goes to, I'm like, what credential does somebody have? Because of who their parents are? Who goes to college to be a pundit? If you're a parent and your child's going to college to be a pundit, reassess your life, your parenting skills, and your child's actual skill set. Sometimes we need to have these harsh conversations. I didn't go to college to be a pundit. I didn't even want to be on TV. I gave everybody a middle finger for years. I was like, no, I'm going to write. Leave me alone. I only did it as an experiment to shut people up. No, it just wows me. Wows me. I hear some of this stuff. I'm like, you know why political discourse is so stupid? Because the punditry class is so stupid. I could sit here and point to a million pundits on right and left who are just lucky because of their parental loins. And some of them are the most ridiculous, contrarian, idiotic people that I've ever had the misfortune of hearing. And they come out with the same stupid books. They write the same stupid columns. They say the same stupid things. They have the same stupid outlook. And it's just so damn predictable. And it's so ridiculous. There's no real life experience behind any of it. Anyway, there's my rant on that for today. I was listening to this and I'm like, this is why people hate politics. Because of this stuff. Well, you know, Joe Biden and the free press. I mean, he really talks a good, he hates you. I mean, I'm just letting the actions speak for themselves. I don't know any other president aside from Bill Clinton that went after the press with such gusto. Y'all were being persecuted. You had your records tapped, your emails broken into. You had all kinds of stuff going on. You were threatened. I watched as Eric Holder got in the face of a Daily Caller reporter, got in his face at a White House press briefing. It's a famous picture. No, y'all were fine. No, never, nobody said anything then because that's how close some of these people want to be to power. Some of these people go into punditry because they couldn't cut it in Hollywood. They go into politics because they weren't smart enough to do anything else. And politics is an industry that rewards stupidity. Let's just be honest about it. At least prostitution is honest. All right, so that's how we're starting today. Welcome to the show. So make sure you go and subscribe to the newsletter. But I heard that and that just set me off. You know how you hear something on TV? I'm one of the people who, I know it might be frustrating for you all because you got to argue with your TV. I can come up and just argue with myself on the microphone or on the television. It's just so, no, that is true. There was a group that did that and I was like, y'all are grifters. And I said this to their faces. And that's how the dinner ended because it was in person. Awkward much? Yep. I mean, it's like, what are you? People think I'm joking. I'm not in this to make, I just don't care. I'm not beholden to a network. I'm not beholden to anybody. I don't have to answer to anybody. Everybody that I work with is the same way. So there's freedom in that. You got to get that blank you position. There's freedom in that. So this is how we're starting Wednesday. So a couple of things to look at, and this is how I usually look at the show. I usually try to get three or four rather large, or three or four at least things that we're looking at. as a way to, and then follow these stories, you know, on and off throughout the hour. But there's a few. So top, first off, let's start with the Israel situation, because now Russia has spoken up. I know everybody really, I mean, it's not like they're completely overextended with Ukraine and or anything, but okay, let's just go ahead and pretend. But they said, Russia says they're not going to tolerate any more civilian casualties in Gaza. They really want a virtue signal, and they really want to pose on this. And now, and there's, now I have another Russia-related headline. They're warning Israel that any further military action resulting in civilian casualties in Gaza would be unacceptable. This is about the time that I don't know. I think I would probably troll them over this. Are they going to say anything to Hamas? Because Hamas killed several hundred of their own people. Are they going to say anything to Hamas? Because this all started when Hamas started lobbing rockets. And I do think it's interesting, and Avi Meir makes this point, you know, speaking of unnecessary casualties that would be unacceptable, from 2015 to 2020, Russian warplanes killed more than 8,500 civilians in Syria, which was, ladies and gentlemen, if we all look at a map, thousands of miles away from Russia, if you want to have that conversation. I don't recall anyone calling up Karen Putin and asking for his input into this whole situation. Do you, Kane? Dost thou recall someone invoking the great Karen? I don't think so.
I do not recall.
He's the ultimate Karen, by the way. The only thing that he's missing is, may I speak to your manager, K+8 haircut. It's the only thing Vlad Putin's missing. I was going to add something else, but I thought it might be a little one step too far.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then Joe Biden is telling Netanyahu that he expects significant de-escalation today on the path to ceasefire in their fourth call after the Israeli prime minister said that he could conquer Hamas. I'm just curious, is any of this at all whatsoever being sent towards Hamas? Is any of this, is any of this being sent towards them? Are any of these requests being made of the Palestinian Authority? Are any of these requests being made of Hamas? Because these were the individuals that started it with the rocket lobbing. Netanyahu said he didn't rule anything out. Now, they said 219 Palestinians have died in the fighting. Let's look at also the body count of civilians that were due to Hamas getting all these big rockets from Iran and not knowing how the hell to work them. I'm just curious as to when that request is going to be made, because if they wanted peace, all Hamas would have to do is lay down their RPGs and everything else. That's all they'd have to do. And by the way, sidebar to this, didn't Biden just approve an arms deal to Israel yesterday? So let's weigh the optics here. Within the same 24-hour span, he approves the acquisition of Israel, of weapons from Israel. Israel's getting they're buying a bunch of weaponry, munitions. So this is approved, and then he's like, well, now don't use them. Well, they won't if people don't fire rockets over. As long as Hamas ain't acting froggy, then we don't have anything to worry about. That's kind of real simple. Meanwhile, squad member Rashida Tlaib told Biden on the tarmac, boy, she wanted this optic, didn't she? You can't let AOC be the only optic queen. She was kind of in his face, saying that he can't give Netanyahu billions each year to bomb schools with U.S.-supplied weapons. Nobody's bombing schools, by the way. That's, again, Hamas being stupid and using, and this is documented, using school rooftops to launch rockets that then, when they don't work right because they're morons, they're like some of the most inept terrorists ever. We've got all these billions in aid, and we just built a series of tunnels under the city that don't really do anything except hide terrorists and munitions. That's all. She said that Palestinian human rights are not a bargaining chip. And then coming up, I've got, I don't know if you saw some of the stuff that was going down in West Hollywood. There were Persian Jews sitting outside sushi restaurant, and they were attacked by this like caravan of people flying Palestine's colors. And they hop out, and there's a multi-video recorded brawl on the sidewalk. This is in West Hollywood, where I'd be thinking that people were too afraid to break a nail, right? Like, they're too afraid. Like, no, you can't mess up my $300 Neiman Marcus jeans. Like, we can't do that. Hold up. So we're going to get into all of that. Also, coming up, masks are not theater, except when they are. We've got that for you. I got a bunch of other stuff, too, with regards to cancel culture. Can we have a conversation about aliens, like another one? Because I have some, I have four working theories. We got Law and Order and a bunch of stuff. You don't want to miss a single bit of today's show, because there's a lot to get into. And it's leg day. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain. And that's what led the team behind the best-selling Super Beats Heart Chews to create their new Super Beats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Super Beats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Super Beats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Super Beats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
I don't even know why. I hope this is all just like rumors, but Tom Brady unscripted, really? Fox Network hints at upcoming reality show with the Buccaneers quarterback following his 7th Super Bowl victory. I just have never had the highest, like, what do you mean, a reality show for real? Nobody believes that. He apparently had a reality show on Facebook in 2018. I didn't even know that. So they're doing ESPN's doing the docuseries, The Man in the Arena. So that's, I don't know. It's something that's apparently in the works. We'll see what happens with it. Let's see. Researchers, according to Seattle Times, they think fish might actually be the answer to treating mood disorders if you just slap somebody with one, apparently. No, I'm joking. It's not really. University of Washington, they're trying to figure out how to control the brain because, of course, they are. Researchers at UW Medicine and then, of course, Wash U in St. Louis, Kane, they say that they tried a protein called something to manipulate neurons and certain neurotransmitters, and they were actually looking at lamprey proteins, which sounds kind of gross. A driver used hand sanitizer and smoked, and his car burst into flames. Don't be him. Stay with us.
The Biden border lies continue, and the left gets very ugly towards Israel. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I share what I saw this week along the U.S.-Mexico border. California Congressman Mike Garcia joins me to explain how the border crisis is spreading further into the country. And I expose how hatred for Israel is now commonplace in the Democratic Party. These are hugely important issues, and our government is getting them wrong. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
I'm a big sports fan. I watch the Olympics in the middle of the night. You ever see me during Olympic season, I'm never asleep. I'm always watching because usually it's in a different time zone. And to see the discipline, the focus, the dedication of our young, of our athletes out there is just a source of such pride.
That was not even the right song. Welcome back to the show, danalash.com. So ongoing with all of this, we'll talk about the alien thing later. So some of the, I wanted to get into some of the coronavirus and some of the cancel culture stuff as well. But we were discussing before we went to break the, we were discussing what's going to happen with the how Israel v. Gaza, how all of that's going to end. But I saw this story. It was on Sky News. Hamas fired on Israeli soldiers that were trying to provide humanitarian aid. Yeah, that's true. And this story was something that was just literally, they just literally updated it 4 minutes ago. They were attempting to provide, Israeli soldiers were attempting to provide humanitarian aid to residents of Gaza. They were forced to retreat because Hamas began firing. They've sent over 3,700 rockets into Israeli territory. Many residents were forced to find shelter within mere seconds. And so Israel protected itself. They targeted Hamas's militant infrastructure. just right there. Hamas sends over rockets to just indiscriminately randomly bomb people. And Israeli targets the infrastructure housing Hamas's control centers and trying to take out part of that metro. And that's an underground tunnel system that they have to smuggle fighters and weapons and all kinds of stuff around. They were trying to provide aid, and Hamas wouldn't even let them provide aid. Wouldn't even let them do that. Would not even at all let them do that. So what is the, I mean, is that all just like stuff that's missed by legacy press? And, you know, you have the Rashida Tlaibs and all these people. I can't tell you a single piece of legislation this chick sponsored. Can you? Do you know a single bill this chick sponsored? I mean, I see these Congress people that get up there and they get in front of the cameras and they love doing these staged photo ops, like crying down at the fence at the border and all this other stuff. But they don't actually do anything that involves really significantly helping anybody. They don't do any of that. Masks are not theater. My heavens. Did you guys see this? And I'm sure you did. I'm sure that you saw this interview with Fauci, wherein he was discussing wearing masks indoors, right? And he's been, I mean, just quite all over the place with this stuff. I mean, we played some of the flashback stuff for you yesterday where he's like, oh, well, you know, you don't really need to wear masks. He's been all over the place with it. And audio soundbite 17 or 2. He admits that.
Well, you know, Georgia,
it was all theater. Listen.
I'm obviously careful because, I mean, I'm a physician and a healthcare provider. I am now much more comfortable in people seeing me indoors without a mask. I mean, before the CDC made the recommendation change, I didn't want to look like I was giving mixed signals. But being a fully vaccinated person, the chances of my getting infected in an indoor setting is extremely low.
I mean, I just, you know, I didn't want to make people feel uncomfortable. I didn't want them to be uncomfortable. He admits that he was wearing a mask because it was about creating an impression, not about doing anything else. It wasn't actually due to science. Can I just make this grand point that I can't believe that needs to be made? Social purpose doesn't equal safety. Can we all agree on this point? That's not safety. Virtue signaling isn't safety. Social purpose doesn't equal safety. I was thinking about that when I was reading this piece over at The Atlantic, too. It says, excuse me if I'm not ready to unmask. It's a film critic that decides to write about that. Okay, well, it is all, you know, pretty much entertainment at this point with the mask stuff. They said, early on in the pandemic, I vowed to set a high standard for coronavirus avoidance. It buries the lead. I get it that it's a meandering navel-gazing thing, but it, you know, I mean, just get to the point. No one cares. No, nobody knows you. We don't care how you grew up. We don't really, just get to your stupid point. So they don't, they were saying that they're not quite ready to, and this is, by the way, I just want to count how many graphs it is because these people love to hear themselves right. 1, 2, I know I said that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six paragraphs down, they finally get to it. They got to sit here and tell you all of I just hate bad journalism. I'm sorry. They have to sit here and go, you need to be told exactly what's happened the past year with the coronavirus and everything else. I mean, it's just the word. Where's the editor here? I mean, this is where the op-ed page editor comes in and is like, girl, this is just a mess, and edits it up for you. So they finally get into it, six graphs down. And it says, early on in the pandemic, I made a vow with my family that we would set a high standard for coronavirus avoidance. Not only were we not getting this virus ourselves if we could help it, but we were going to take no chances of inadvertently spreading it to anybody else. Okay, good job. Okay, I think everybody did that. I have to pause here because that's what everybody did in the beginning. We were told 15 days to slow the spread. Everybody, we're all good people. We're not, you know, we're not D-bags. We care about others. You know, maybe some more than most. But, you know, we all pitched in. We did our bit. And then they said, Even if it did make for a long and lonely year without indoor gatherings and travel to see family and friends, I just, you know, I didn't want to go to my death thinking I was a link in some chain of human interaction leading to someone else's serious illness or death. I got to stop there again, too. This is the only time that I think I've ever seen the left assume any kind of personal responsibility for anything. But it's not correct. That's the thing. Like, the things that you would accept personal responsibility for, like bad money management and making other bad decisions like that, like, that's what you accept. This is a two-way street, because what you do does not dictate what somebody else does. Your actions are not a prescribed action for someone else. Other people also have the free will choice. This kind of goes back to what we were saying in the beginning, that if you were worried about contracting it, then don't go out, then stay home. And so that stuck to me. And it said that they talk about, you know, the vaccines are remarkably effective, but not 100%. Okay, I gotta stop again. So here we have a tale of two reactions. The first is the vaccine hesitant. They listened to Kamala Harris when she said during the campaign that if Trump told her to take the vaccine, she wouldn't take the Trump vaccine. We listened. We heard them say that. This is after they told us that the election was, the 2016 election was stolen, that everything was built on a lie, whatever. They were planting seeds of distrust for government entities, the same entities that they now actually have to, they're demanding that you believe. But I looked at this, I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. The vaccines are effective, but not 100%. I've looked at the science. I mean, even if you're vaccinated, it's incredibly rare. Like the Bill Maher case, he's been vaccinated. It's incredibly rare. I don't know it's an exception, not the rule. So why is it the people who are hesitant to get the vaccine and are still responsible? I mean, they keep their distance from people, and they just, you know, they, or maybe they just act like me and think everybody's dirty and they don't want to touch anybody or touch anything because everything's gross. Let's just be real. I'm sticking everything I have to stay on point right now. But those people are mocked. But what about the people that are like, well, no, we just don't really think the vaccines are totally effective. So we're going to get our vaccine and we're going to wrap ourselves in plastic and we're going to wear 6 feet of masks and we're going to do all these things. Are those people not, are they also science deniers or nah? Right? It's kind of weird. But they say, you know, putting aside science for a moment, here's the big sentence, actually two big sentences. Ready? Putting aside the hard science for a moment, this is from The Atlantic, wearing a mask in public spaces, especially indoors where transmission is more likely, serves a broader social purpose. It says to those around us that whatever our vaccine status, we value community safety. Okay, let's stop. How horrible is this planet and everyone on it that you immediately assume the worst of somebody unless they are plastered with a generally acceptable avatar that demonstrates some sort of opposition to your own personal bigotry against them? Right? All people are evil and they want everyone to die unless they're wearing a mask. That's the only way we can tell that they actually care about community safety. Maybe they're wearing a mask because they've had it before. Maybe they're not wearing a mask because they already had it. Maybe they're not wearing a mask because they were vaccinated. Maybe they're not wearing a mask because they have a strong immune system. Maybe, who knows? Maybe they're like the patient zero for the cure. You don't know. Maybe they're not wearing a mask because it's just they don't have to. Why would you immediately assume the worst of someone, though? That goes back to that Rachel Maddow thing where she's like, I'm going to have to rewire my brain. This kind of goes to my point where I think some, not all, but a lot of people in this political category are just pure hateful. That's your first response. If I see somebody wearing a mask, I don't immediately think, golly, that person's a rube. That person's a sheep. It's because I don't care. They probably have their own reasons, none of which involve me. And if I was worried about somebody not wearing a mask, then I wouldn't go out. But it says to those of us around us that whatever our vaccine status, we value community safety. That is a social message. It is not science. That those two things cannot be conflated. So This is, they're admitting that it's less about science and it's more about transmitting some sort of demonstration of fealty. That's how it's looked at. You're, I mean, if you're wearing, if you're vaccinated, I mean, these people are vaccinated and they're talking about this. I sent out my, my newsletter last night. Let me pull this up. Because there was one of the headlines that I had for you in here is, and it was, you could tell I was crabby yesterday because that was right after the workout. Three stupid things and three things you need to know. No one cares if you want to wear a mask. Literally no one. New York Times tweeted, face coverings have been a political flashpoint during the pandemic because people have made them so. Now, as more Americans become vaccinated and restrictions are eased, those who want to keep wearing masks say they're facing pressure to take them off. No one wants you to take off your mask if you don't want to. Nobody cares. I will physically fight someone that is demanding that you take off your mask and you don't want to take off your mask. I will kick their ass for you. How about that? Does that make you feel better? And I'll do the same vice versa. Nobody's saying this. Who's saying this? Kane, who is saying, no, they got to take their masks off?
Nobody I know.
I actually went and I went down a rabbit hole trying to research this. And then I actually fell into an article that talked about where the strings on the masks were made. And I just, it was ridiculous because then you look at cotton, where's cotton sourced from? And then it was like a whole other episode. I spent 35 minutes of my life reading about that. So I don't know why I found it interesting. And they're not actually, they I forget what they were calling them. Not like the mask string. I forget what they were calling them. Anyway, no, there's not a single soul trying to mandate the removal of anyone's precious masks. But the same people that are worried about it are sure as heck trying to mandate it for everybody else. There are areas around here that are removing their mask mandates. And here's something too. This goes along with the vaccines. I don't care if somebody wants to get vaccinated. And I think that people, I do find it ironic on both sides, because it's always the left that says that the right are tyrants and they want to boss everyone around and control women's bodies. But yet they also want to make sure that they want to mandate vaccines. And I'm not against vaccines. I had all my immunizations. The kids had their, I mean, stop. It's my business. It ain't yours. You ain't paying my bills. Like I said, I'll go, if they make GMO and ice cream, I'll eat GMO ice cream. I don't even care. But at the same time, though, with this, it's, if you're going to get with the whole situation with the vaccines, if you don't want to get a vaccine, I understand the hesitancy for those and for those people who get the vaccines, there's no judgment either. But I do think it's kind of ironic, as I was saying, where, you know, some of my libertarian friends, they're like, oh, you went from being sheep to being lab rats. I had three of my friends who are capital L's and they were sharing this on Facebook yesterday, the same meme. I'm like, for the love. I'm like, isn't this you still also trying to get involved in somebody else's business? Like, isn't that kind of contradict your whole political philosophy? Like, just mind your own business. Like, everybody, here's a thought, like a national exercise. Everybody should take a day to mind their own business. Unless somebody needs help. But otherwise, mind your own business. You know what I'm saying? Somebody need help? Help them. If they don't need help, then mind your own business. It's like the flow chart. Just a thought. We got a lot still on the way. Because Republicans, they were defying mask rules on the House floor. Is anybody else over the virtue signaling of all of this, no matter what it is? Yes. Can we, I mean, for real. Yes. I think that's why I'm so into the aliens thing right now. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
It's the Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. We made it halfway through the week, everybody. It's good to be with you. I know, a little Motley Crue, I guess, there. I wanted to tell you this. Well, I may need longer for this, but I was reading about this story. If you haven't read it yet, the story about Cash Gurnon. He's a 4-year-old, and 18-year-old Darren Brown kidnapped this twin brother. He was sleeping, two twin brothers. They were sleeping in their bed, and this 18-year-old came, kidnapped him, brutally stabbed him to death, and left him in the middle of the road to die. Now, I know that there are some people out there like, oh, well, you know, it's a black suspect and this is a white toddler. And oh, my goodness, this is so, our white 4-year-old, this is so. And I see that. But one of the things that I and I'm going to write a piece on this. One of the things that I saw, though, there's not a lot of discussion about the woman who found the boy. And because, you know, I mean, for I guess all intents and purposes, for importance for the left, she's a black woman. She was out power walking and she discovered this boy's body. She called 911 and she told the press, she was like, I wouldn't stay until he was taken, because I wasn't going to leave this baby alone. And I'm like, if people are going to talk about race in this situation, I really hope that they remember that woman. And I hope that, you know, come on. We got a lot to come still. Stay with us. Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot, or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Mission of the Congress. And Rashid Tlaib, where's Rashid? I tell you what, Rashid, I want to say to you that I admire your intellect, I admire your passion, and I admire your concern for so many other people. And it's my, from my heart, I pray that your grandma and family are well. I promise you I'm going to do everything to see that they are.
Hmm. So that was President Joe Biden. Welcome back to the program. I can't believe it's already the second hour, by the way. DanaLash.com. Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter. So that was the president just a little bit ago. And so there's some backstory to this. When he, and the photo was what? Yes, it was after radio when they first printed it, because I'm trying to remember the service because I follow all the like the photo services, and I saw it. And at first it just said Joe Biden arrives, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's at first it said he's met by Rashida Tlaib. And I'm like, I'm sure there is more to this photo. And there was, because she was very not happy with him after he had affirmed support for Israel's right to defend itself. And I told you yesterday, I said there's going to be, he's going to have some, a lot of pushback on this, and he has. So Tlaib was confronting him on the tarmac, and the report is that she told him he can't give right-wing Netanyahu billions each year to bomb schools with U.S. supplied weapons. And apparently it was a very intense, I mean, it was like almost 10 minutes. He was in Michigan, and she was very critical of his actions. Now, she's one of the squad. And the squad also includes Ilhan Omar, who has been very, very critical. She just doesn't think that Israel should retaliate at all. Right. Now, a few things on this. And Rashida Tlaib has she has some family that I think that lives in the West Bank, and a 90-year-old grandmother. And no matter what you think, what you think of Israel, what you think of Netanyahu, what you think of Israeli politics, and there, that is completely irrelevant to the timeline of events. It is incredibly irrelevant because all of this is, I understand it, kicked off. And this was around, because every year there was there's the mournful observance from Palestinians of the creation of Israel. It's like a yearly observance, and it's all kind of centers around that. And I think it translates to the disaster or something like that. That's what they call it. But anyway, and it's like on the 15th, I think, May 15th. And that seems to be what it all kind of centers around, or really what kind of started, you know, kicking some things off. Or ratcheting up tensions, so to speak. But they had this, like, you know, this intense conversation, and she had told him, and NPR had written about this because apparently they had someone there, and they said one of the quotes that was given was, "Atrocities like bombing schools can't be tolerated, much less conducted with U.S. supplied weapons." Okay, well, first off, so, and this was him trying to, I guess, calm her down. That was what those remarks were. He's trying to keep her from, I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. He's trying to just basically keep the peace and be diplomatic. And I'll criticize him when I'm, but this is not a generational difference. And that's how I've seen it, I think, mischaracterized by people in punditry. This is not a generational difference. This is an ideological difference. It very much is. Now, Joe, I don't think Joe Biden's a moderate, but I don't think that he is as severely far left as Tlaib is. I think he's pretty far left, but he is not as severely far left as she is, particularly as it relates to foreign policy and taxation. I mean, because she believes in, like, the living wage and universal basic income, meaning that you get paid whether or not you work, and that money comes from magic, apparently. I don't know how they think they're going to get it. But it's an ideological difference. But when she was saying that you need to stop giving them, as though that somehow Israel is using U.S. rockets that they would have purchased to bomb schools in Gaza or elsewhere. And that's just simply not accurate. There have been, and I've talked about it on this show, and all the, let me pull up my notes here. I've talked about it on the show, all of the different times where they have sort of, where Hamas has kind of shielded themselves. And they have it before. They've done it over and over again. I mean, let me pull this up. The Atlantic even had a piece. They found, there was a United Nations school in Gaza where they found rockets. That was UN was running this school for kids. A school. And that was Yahoo News. This is, this actually came in originally. There was a piece in The Atlantic where they talked about this. Hamas quietly admits it fired rockets from civilian areas. It's kind of a big deal. This was in September of 2014. Not only did The Atlantic report on it, Time reported on it, Newsweek reported on it, the Associated Press reported on it, NPR even had a report on it. Although NPR, let me look at my screen. NPR had it. It's like the end of the fourth graph. But they did. They that is an accurate and documented thing. The AP ran a story also in September of 2014 where they had photos and they were showing all of these residential areas, including school, where not only were they areas of storage for munitions, but also places where they would fire off rockets into Israel. So this is inaccurate for her to say, and it is inaccurate for anybody else to deny. And I don't think that I would necessarily call any of these outlets, Kane. I would not characterize them as left-leaning outlets or right-leaning outlets, would you? They're not conservative entities.
Not at all.
And yet they were saying, okay, well, they did use them. In fact, there was one official, they said that, and this is all right when this report came out in September of 2014, one official says the group had no choice. This is a quote, safeguards were taken to protect civilians, but mistakes were made. Oh my heavens. Wow. Mistakes. And there is a map as well. That, and for whatever reason, on the Associated Press story, I can't pull the map up, but it's on, and I'm going to put this in your prep tonight, y'all. So if you are a paid subscriber to the newsletter, you get the prep email with us. But it showed there were satellite maps that showed, like, where the schools were and how they were maneuvering and where they were storing weapons and where, you know, they were firing things from. And it was from a school. I mean, that's just a simple fact. And that was done on purpose. So for all, whatever you want to think about Israel and their politics and their policies, whatever, it is completely irrelevant to both the timeline and the facts of the matter. I mean, this has been, I know that the left loves the United Nations, which has China literally on its human rights commission. China, with the detention camps of Uyghurs in the Xinjiang province. China, that China. Yeah, as if there's any other. So that's a big deal. Yeah, here's another follow-up from this is in 2015. Evidence of Hamas using civilian facilities, including schools. It's AP. Another piece from them. So these accusations that it's Israel or that Hamas doesn't do this are simply not accurate. And in fact, there was, and this was in 2014, one of the things that the report, especially as it relates to the UN school, that they had noted is one of the, remember one of the officials said that mistakes were made. One of the mistakes was that one of the rockets like detonated apparently like right by the school and there were injuries and casualties. This back and forth, I think that there's just a crazy absence of historical education taking place in our schools. I don't know what else to think of it. There is an insane absence of this. And one of the, I think, things that people are just not, I don't know what it is. Like, I keep seeing this whole, I mentioned this in the newsletter yesterday, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday as well. This idea that that something is, that they're practicing apartheid or that it is in any way apartheid. Anyone who's making this argument is historically illiterate. And as I said before, and I mentioned this, and there are a couple of things. I also included a BBC historical primer on apartheid in South Africa that went into the weeds with everything actually that was in place. I mean, Israel has some of the, they have really restrictive, we would consider them anti-speech here in the United States, to be honest. They have very restrictive laws on discrimination, against discrimination. And in fact, it's illegal to even incite to racism in Israel. The other thing that people don't understand is that they have Arab members of parliament. Arab Israelis have their own political party. And Arab Israeli citizens are members of government. In fact, some of them, Arab Israelis hold super high positions. And I'm talking like Islamic Arab Israelis. They hold very high positions in various government departments. Like Ministry of Foreign Affairs is one that I can think of. And I know that there are others, but I know and I can't remember his name, but he was one who was part of the party that was a little more critical of the others of Israeli policies. And Arab Israeli citizens, they have the exact same voting rights. They are educated exactly the same in the same primary schools and the same universities, and they make up 20% of the country's population. So the idea to compare this in any way to apartheid is to actually deny the very real discrimination and very real disenfranchisement that legitimately documented took place in South Africa. And it's insulting and offensive. People need to stop. Words have meanings for a reason. I mean, I wrote in the newsletter, it's an ignorant denial of history, and people who push this uneducated garbage should be mocked for promoting a stupidity made catching by propaganda. And it's true. So one of the other things that we're following is this crazy kind of double standard I think this is like a national security issue. We've talked quite a bit about this. So first off, one of the first things that Biden did upon taking office is he wanted to shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. And remember, the Keystone XL pipeline was never about the actual procurement or drilling of oil. It was about the transportation of oil. So ending the Keystone pipeline didn't end the drilling. It just made you have to use more fossil fuels and transport the oil on a train as opposed to a pipeline. But yet at the same, in the same month or 2 months that Biden does this, then he decides to waive sanctions on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. That's Russia's pipeline. One of the reasons that Trump put sanctions on that and was trying to end it is because Germany is a NATO country. Germany, it's very odd for a country to get and rely upon an enemy, kind of, you want to put it like that. Russia gives them a lot of their energy. They supply them a lot of their energy. This was a way to not only assist an ally, I mean, to sell them, you know, to sell them oil that is drilled in the North American continent, to also get them to rely a little bit less on Russia and kind of cut Russia off at the knees a little bit in terms of its influence in Europe with the energy supply. We're going to talk more about this. We have headlines on the way as well, so you don't want to miss it. We have a lot today. It's a packed show today. So a lot going on. We appreciate you being with us.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So it was announced today that Mayor Lori Lightfoot of Chicago, she's reaching her midway point as mayor. And as reported by NBC in Chicago, her spokeswoman says that she's granting one-on-one interviews, but only to black or brown journalists. No one else. Only black or brown journalists. No one else can. That's actually practicing racism. That's totes racisms, right, Kane? I'm calling shenanigans. Shenanigans have been called officially. What are you going to do? They've been called. China is furious. This is all the irony in this. There's so much irony to be had in here. China is furious with Japan because, as we've talked about on the program before, Japan, I think this was a headline last week, they're releasing some of the radioactive Fukushima water. And so China, their foreign ministry spokesperson, made the remarks at a daily news briefing. He was asked to comment on Seoul's request to the International Maritime Organization to explore ways to cooperate to make sure that, you know, Japan's planned release of this nuclear polluted water is done, you know, to where, you know, in a reasonable manner. And China's infuriated. How dare they release this? That's going to hurt the world. Really? Like, I don't know, maybe a virus? Just going to lay that out on the table for you. Good heavens. Oh, you know the guy who said he was a descendant of Robert E. Lee and he went off on the Confederate statues? Okay, yeah, so he's not a descendant of Robert E. Lee. He just lied for media attention, apparently. Of course, nobody's surprised. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
There's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are. We can't explain how they moved, their trajectory. They did not have an easily explainable pattern. And so, you know, I think that we're people still take seriously trying to investigate and figure out what that is. But I have nothing to report to you today.
That's former President Obama who is talking about aliens, UFOs. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. So if you get the newsletter, you got a little bit of last night of what I'm talking about. Because I think this is kind of like a Rorschach test in a way. Yeah. I mean, how is this not a national conversation? I feel like there are people out there who have been waiting their entire lives to have this moment to talk about this nationally. Isn't that the favorite phrase of the left? Like, are we going to have a national conversation? It's time for a national conversation. Is it ready? So are you guys ready to have a national conversation about national conversations? I mean, we're just going to gloss over this stuff. I mean, I'm not going to. It feels like because there's a lot of stuff that's come out about it. There's a ton of stuff that's come out. And you've got all these military, then you got Radcliffe, DNI, Director of National Intelligence, who's saying, yeah, there's some stuff out there. What? So, okay, I have some theories. Let's explore these. I have four, but then I've been developing a super kooky fifth one. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. Before you think that we're just taking you off the path.
Yeah, I was about to ask.
No. We're bringing this tugboat back. Okay. So just buckle up and just bear with me. trust me, right? Trust me. Have I ever steered you wrong? No, I haven't. I take care of you. Here's my theory. Theories. I don't necessarily know where I'm going with how I believe in each of these. But so here's theory number one. This is all these like ships and the stuff that they see. There's been like the one where it looks like it's invisible and it's masked by the clouds. And then there's another one that goes into the water and then comes back out. What tech does this? Maybe it's ours. Maybe it's just United States advanced technology that was leaked. Maybe we weren't ready for it to be leaked because we don't want any of these other countries to be fully aware of what our military and technological advances are. So we're just being silent about it and letting everybody else, you know, we're playing up the UFO angle because we would rather them think that than.
Yeah, the your number one theory is probably the least tinfoily hatty thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that seems right. Or my second theory is that we are leaking this to try to scare other countries so that they're like, whoa, the United States has this? Whoa, that makes all of our measly stuff look bad. And we're just trolling about the aliens for fun. That is something I would do. I mean, I really like number two. Or do you like that one? That one seems plausible.
I just think that other countries have experienced a UFO phenomenon as well. So I don't know if it's just like, I don't think other countries' perspectives are it just happens in the United States.
What if it's us spying on them?
Or that.
Although, why is it always like in a rural area? Like, what is there to spy on out there?
It's a lot of cows.
Like is there some shenanigans going on possibly out in the rural areas or along certain highways only? Possibly. I mean, I don't know. So here's my number three, right? Three, yeah. It's a foreign country whose tech leaked. And now we've got a serious major national security concern. Because if there's another country that can best us in the air and apparently in the sea and has ships that, you know, or aircraft or craft that goes faster than ours, that's a big problem. For us, all of us, doesn't matter. They're not going to be like, oh, wait, what's your party affiliation? You're excused from the absolute pain that we're about to bring down on you. It's not going to happen. Or my fourth theory, it really is aliens, and they either like us or hate us. And so let me expand on this a little bit. Think about this for one moment. If you were an alien and you were sent to do reconnaissance on Earth, even if your alien overlords were like, okay, go ahead and tell everybody that we're aliens, we need to go ahead and make contact, I honestly don't know that I would want to do that because these are people who are so unstable, they go off over pancake syrup. Yeah. These are people who get upset over Dr. Seuss. Yeah. These are people who get upset over pronouns. And red hats and all kinds of stuff. A red hat can incite someone to violence. I don't know that they would be able to handle, oh, hi, alien here. Not quite sure they'd be able to handle that, okay? Like, we literally had a national argument over cream of wheat. So, would if you were an alien, would you want to meet you? I'm just saying. I kind of feel like, you know, maybe, you know, we just like lock the doors and just keep on driving like we didn't see. Just go right past Earth. We didn't see any of this. We didn't see any of this. I'm just, you know, it kind of feels like that.
All right. So that's four of them. Did you say you had a fifth one you're working on?
Yes. Yeah, so I have a fifth one. The fifth one is okay. Now, I was thinking about this this morning. What if it's Deep State War Inc. trying to think of a way to drum up support for a bigger defense military budget? That one's not in the newsletter. Huh? So these are my theories. But I mean, seriously, I mean, I don't know if people who get offended over food items are going to be able to not lose their ever-loving minds if they meet an alien. And here's the other thing. Even if it is aliens, which I don't know if it, what's the name? The doctor, the Greek guy with the crazy hair.
Georgios Tsoukalos.
Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was a T in there.
Yeah, the T silent. It's in the beginning.
Are you
like,
messing with me?
No, it's Giorgio Tsoukalos.
Good grief. Are you going to say, like Mr. Pfeiffer, the P's not silent, right?
It's totally okay. Silent.
Okay. I just, because I like Ancient Aliens. I'm totally into that. Stop it. I feel your judgment. You guys are horrible. It just seems to me to be a little, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing, I don't know. Would we notice it? We're so navel gazing and we're so petty and we've been involved in so many slap fights with each other. We're so busy looking at our feet. Do we know anything else that's happening? Do we know if anything else is going on? I mean, it seems, you know, it takes rockets apparently to change the news cycle. How sad is that? Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to lay that out on the table for you to nom on. You know, that's just some brain snacks. You think about that in sweet dreams tonight. I don't know. I really wouldn't. If I was an alien, I'd be like, no, I'm not going to visit these people. They get upset over syrup. I'm not going to do it. Oh, my gosh. So one of the couple of other things here. So that's my alien thing. What do you think it is? Sidebar. What do you think?
What are your theories?
Oh, yeah. Do you think it's military? Your
number one theory is pretty good. I do dig that. My thing is, yeah, I think it's kind of absurd to think that there's like no other life entities
in this universe.
So I think it's kind of weird. But I would love to be able to see some actual solid proof. All this UFO stuff is literally just unidentified flying objects. We don't really know, who's piloting them or who's behind their technology or whatever. So until we find that out, we can only speculate. And I'm willing to speculate that there's aliens out there.
Yeah, no, And no, it does not contradict the Bible because the Bible doesn't say that there aren't anything.
It's true.
Just to focus, you know, so I'm just, you know, I just seems like it would be really almost like a waste of space for there not to be anything else, right? You know, I don't know. I'm fascinated by it, but I do totally get into the Ancient Aliens thing. Because I'm like, some of the stuff where it's like, you can't even put a piece of paper between these two stones. They're so finely chiseled. And I'm like, why would you even want to do that? And also, that's amazing. I don't know. Maybe they just had more time back then. I think it's fantastic. It's brilliant. So that's, I had to get that out of the way because just so I can say that I talked about it in case aliens do come down and they're like, you people are so busy fighting over cream of wheat and pronouns and all this other stuff that shame on you. And I could be like, not me and my audience. We talked about it. And then whatever pain they're bringing, we are excluded. So you're welcome. I did that for you as a favor. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Let's see here. So this, I have more things here. I've got actually a lot more things. We were talking about that Keystone Pipeline. So the Biden White House they're dropping all efforts to block the nearly completed Nord Stream 2 pipeline that supplies Russian natural gas directly to Germany. Now, one's gas, one's oil. I get it. Yeah, Nord Stream 2 goes right to Germany. So because they say that Germany's European neighbors say that the pipeline is politically and economically unwise. And I do agree. I think it's also a national security issue because you're talking about a NATO member that's going to have to rely on Russia for energy. So when you are under the thumb of something that you're trying to stand against, it becomes a lot harder when you have people who heat their homes and cook their meals and, you know, do all this other stuff with gas. I'm just saying, that's one of the reasons under the Trump administration, they were trying to get countries like Germany and others to maybe why don't you take our gas and take, you know, and let's talk about establishing that kind of relationship. See, having the United States use our resources for energy, it's not just about making us self-sustaining. It's also about limiting the influence and reach of some of these other countries. That's how it plays. We have more to come, including some economic stuff. We're going to get into some of the economics of, I was reading this really good article on Eater. It's how a New York City restaurant loses money on a $14 sandwich. It's actually a really good piece, and I'm going to share it with you. We've got Florida Man on the way. We're also, I don't care about the January 6th commission thing. I'm done with everybody talking about this. I feel as though, maybe I, I, I like peaceful protest. I don't like violent riots. I don't care who does it. And I look at the Capitol as my tax dollars go towards that. So you just messed up my house. So I got a problem with you if you're messing up my house and busting up my windows. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, this idea that trying to make it look like those people were demonstrative of the thousands upon thousands that came out who were entirely peaceful is unfair and malicious. That's like saying that all BLM protests were all, every single one of them, violent and awful, and because they weren't. But there were some that absolutely did burn down entire city blocks with the help of Antifa. And there were, and then you have Antifa attacking numerous federal buildings, whether it's in Portland or Seattle. No investigation from that. I mean, I've only seen a few tweets from the FBI on that. They seem very, very excited and knocking on the doors of people who even tweeted about attending the protest, but were not even at all participating or present at the riot itself. So I feel maybe that the unequal treatment and I think the overwrought way in which some people have been persecuting and pursuing this matter and presenting this matter on the national stage has just made me not want to hear any more about it. If somebody broke the law, then prosecute them. But stop sitting here acting like a guy who dressed up like he was on his way to Burning Man as the leader to some sort of dippy insurrection. And he had to have vegan food in jail, for the love.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, so first and foremost, there was a Florida man who was caught snatching baby swans and putting them in a cooler. What? Why would anybody do that? What are they, goslings? Goslings. They're goslings, aren't they? Yeah. So he's caught catching baby swans and stuffing them. I'm pulling my story up. You have to forgive me because I'm about to punch my document in the face right now. Like, we're about to have violence on camera. This comes by, well, there's a couple of different outlets for this. So this, we've had stuff like this before, but this is this month. And there's apparently also video, and he was fighting with the parents, the swan parents. WKMG had the story. The guy is taking, no, cygnets. They're cygnets, not goslings. It was Lake Eola Park in downtown Orlando. He reached down, grabbed one, and the mom started going crazy. He hit the mom with the cooler. And he was like, yeah, we rescue them all the time. I've done this many times. I don't know. That he was telling the guy and his girlfriend that he's with a rescue and the babies would be dead tomorrow if he didn't take them. So they reported him, and police were able, they charged him with grand theft, and they said they tracked the babies down. They were rescued and they got him back with their mom. Okay, so can I not lie for it? Be totally honest. This is where Dana would get involved and be like tackling this guy. Yes. I'm sorry. I'd be like, show me that you're with rescue, because you just hit the mama swan with a Rubbermaid tub, and now I got to hit you with a Rubbermaid tub. That is my fist, actually. So we got to have a discussion. There's no way I could, my husband and all of my family would have to grab onto ankles and my wrists and hold me back. And I still would be able to force spirit my way over there and smack this guy. So that stuff, I can't watch the video. I'm not going to watch it because, I'll just get mad. And Nope. Let's see here. What is this? The Florida educator is a former Tampa educator's history of discipline includes pulling his students' toes as punishment. What? Now, the guy's in Rhode Island now, but his past as an educator in Tampa is now coming up. Providence Journal reported that five boys had told Florida sheriff's deputies that this guy had asked them, this educator, Alleghi, asked them on numerous occasions when he would pop their toes as punishment. Oh. That's disgusting. And I feel like maybe that was an excuse for him being a weirdo. Yeah. I also would hit him with a Rubbermaid container. That is my fist, I think. All right, we have a lot more on the way. Andy Biggs joins us. Congressman Andy Biggs joins us next hour. Don't go anywhere.
What are you getting out of this quiet diplomacy strategy?
Well, again, this has been going on now for 8 days. Every person who loses their life, every day it continues, is one we'd like to see, of course, an end to the conflict. But our our tactical approach is that most of our conversations, the majority of them, will happen behind the scenes.
So that's Jen Psaki, the president's press secretary, yesterday with that quiet diplomacy soundbite. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you go and subscribe to the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. And I think I have Hannity tonight. And I know it's kind of crazy. We're literally building a digital wall. It's a little smidgen crazy, you know, just a little bit. And you go and subscribe to the newsletter because you get first looks at stuff. And as soon as things are pieced together, we'll show y'all more. But it's going to be with you guys. We made it to Friday. I'm sorry. I am so mean. Oh my goodness. It's Wednesday. We made it to Wednesday. Oh my gosh. All right. So that was that quiet diplomacy that I got. What was the headline that we had last week where a couple of different outlets reported it, that she was thinking about leaving that position? Because press secretaries, they don't last very long because it is a very demanding job. And that's a lot of, well, as you can see, like in the past, previously, press secretaries could go off and have lives. I mean, George Stephanopoulos he was part of the Clinton cabinet. But look at some of the other press secretaries previously. They went and they worked in news. They joined news departments. They would become anchors. They would, you know, do all, particularly on the left. So it never used to be so polarizing that you couldn't, you know, go and get a job after.
My memory, I remember Tony Snow. He was one of my faves back in the day. But I think that was sort of the time, at least in my mind, where it started getting crazy.
It was right before Robert What's-His-Face, the first press secretary for Obama back in 2008. Gibbs. I think that was right around when it started getting very, very, like he was, in my memory, I think he was one of the first press secretaries that had, it followed him. Yeah. Now, that's not to say he didn't contribute that with the hyper political nature of some of his comments before and after he was in the position. But that's one where I remember it followed him. Now, Stephanopoulos didn't really serve as press secretary, but he was in communications. And he went to ABC. He was an operative, and he ended up going to ABC. I think even Jake Tapper. Didn't Tapper work with Clinton folks?
I think so.
And then he ended up being with CNN. So there's a lot of that out there. But my point is that, like Ari Fleischer, even. Ari Fleischer was press secretary. He was there for Bush. And he was able to go, and he still, do you see what, even on the right and the left, it didn't seem to necessarily follow them like that. But now, it's, you know, I will say this too. Jen Psaki had a position within with the Obama administration prior. And so she had already some hyper political perspectives, not just of her, but her remarks too, of others. And so there, that makes it a little bit different. I think what I'm going to find interesting is what I find most interesting is who's going to, if she ends up leaving this position, who's going to take it after her? Because it seems to be like a thankless job. And for Trump, at least, what they showed is that Trump, they couldn't get at Trump, so they'll verbally beat to death all of the people that would represent him or speak for the administration. Sean Spicer, I think, got some of the worst of it. Sean Spicer, I think, got the absolute worst of it. I mean, they just trolled that guy mercilessly. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I think they all thought that she would whoop them, like the mom, like the exasperated mom she was up there at the podium. Like Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she was my favorite because she was just like, I'm going to go through it. Yeah, I hear your question. Mm-hmm. Like how you would deal with your unruly kids. It's the same thing. So, but the quiet diplomacy aspect, I do get the sense that Biden is trying to, not triangulate, but kind of have, he's trying to speak support to Israel's right to self-defense, but also speak understanding to the squad and the base. Really, it's the Democrat base.
So is this quiet diplomacy like a dog whistle then?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Because that would be
I love all these
treatment.
New phrases that are. I'm just like, why do we have to say all this stuff? Just say what you mean. Everybody's so worried. That's you know why? Media. Because nuance is dead, And we all cherry pick stuff. Can I say something that some of y'all probably disagree with? Even my own husband, God love him. He's been working so hard lately. He was even sending me this stuff. I like people who are smart alecks. Like friendly, funny, disarming kind of smart alecks. I because that's how I am. And I respond to that kind of humor. And I think Joe Biden, he was always kind of, younger Joe Biden was always a jerk. I mean, there were sound bites. I remember watching him when I was a kid. And that's how I always saw him. So him as this like agreeable grandpa is a new thing to me. Because I grew up watching this guy be super aggressive. And I remember when he was questioning Clarence Thomas. And I was maybe like in sixth or seventh grade. And it was one of the first times that I was really watching, like the really paying attention to the news, because they were all so mad at this hearing. And that was, you're a kid, you watch it, you're like, why are these adults so mad at each other? And you would see the clips on the evening news or the morning news, and my mom would watch them. She's getting ready. And I remember he went after Thomas, and he was the one who was talking about the Pepsi can and all that stuff. So this him is this guy who's like the super nice, you know, grandpa is kind of a new thing. But he is trying to kind of have it both ways here and speak support to his base, which clearly disagrees with him. And also at the same time, speak support to Israel's right of self-defense. Now, this is what I'm saying when I say I can't stand the cherry picking stuff. So he has, there's two things. There was one soundbite that he had where, let me pull this up. He was joking. Remember when he was joking with the, I don't know, was it Coast Guard? No, it was the troops overseas. And I don't even know if I can play. Actually, I don't even know if I, can I play this? I don't think I can play that. He was joking with him. No. I just put it in Slack. Can I play that? I don't know if I can play that. The word that he said, because they didn't clap for him. And he was like, come on. And he was joking. No, we can play that. Okay, play that. But okay, you play it then, so it's on you. It's Kane's fault.
It's not on me. Here we go.
So this is a flashback.
And two, I greeted Johnson to the academy. I want you to know that. So clap for that.
When he's like, clap for that. Come on. And then there was this with the Coast Guard. Did you get the Coast Guard one? I have it here if you don't have it. Then he has this. Let me pull. Give me a minute. I have two hands. He has this with the Coast Guard. This is from earlier today.
I can only assume that you will enjoy educating your family about how the Coast Guard is, quote, the hard nucleus around the Navy forms in times of war. You're a really dull class. I mean, come on, man. Is the sun getting to you? I would think you'd have an opportunity when I say that about the Navy to clap, but being here together. But all kidding aside, being here together.
So I know that there are a lot of people on the right that are saying, can you believe this? He needs to apologize. He's so ignorant. And I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to say whenever Trump would joke about anything, the press assailed him. And they took everything literally. And like when he was like, I could go to Manhattan and shoot somebody and y'all love me. Ha ha ha. Okay, so he was making a joke. He wasn't actually saying this. And I just can't go along with pretending that I'm offended by this. Right. I can't. I just can't do it. Is he always well played with his humor, Joe Biden? No, but he's not. I don't think he's being ignorant. I just can't do the whole, I can't take things literally like that. It's just impossible for me.
Yeah, can't. Anybody that thinks critically for themselves knows that this is Biden trying to be funny and win over the crowd, right? But
he's a smart aleck.
My thing is, it's obvious the media doesn't treat the left the same as they do the right. And this is just an example of that.
This is what I wish that conservatives and Republicans would say instead of, I'm so offended over this. This is so mean. Like, he's so insulting too. Come on. Right. Like, there's a way to do it. And I totally get their point. But I'm saying that I think their argument would be a stronger one if they said, We know Biden's joking here, but can you imagine if Trump did this, what the press would say? And what the press has said, I mean, we don't even have to imagine. We know what the press has said when he's made facetious remarks previously. I think that makes a stronger argument than this, than just saying I'm outraged and he, because I've seen some people say he needs to apologize. This is outrageous. I'm like, it's okay. Let's save outrage for the truly outrageous stuff. Let's not be as literal as the people across the aisle. So I just can't. I just can't get into it. I think he's joking. Like I thought, and I wasn't offended when Trump said what he said. I'm like, are you people serious? Like he's not speaking literally. And that's when like people forgot to you how what the word literally meant. That people believe that it's a substitute for like, which I sometimes say, just because we're speaking informally on radio. I'm not giving you like a, you know, big speech here at Oxford. It's, you know, we're sitting around the table shooting the breeze. Except I have a 4-foot wide gaming screen and you don't. So, but otherwise, it's the same thing.
Are we literally shooting breeze?
We're literally shooting breezes.
Speaking sure.
Actually, from the balcony, which would be illegal. And that's what Biden said. I'm like, now that is something where I thought, that's not funny. And I don't think he was necessarily trying to be. He was trying to be kind of funny, but also I think he was actually suggesting this. But nah, man, you can't do that. Mitch McConnell has come out against the January 6th commission. And that made it, well, we're going to talk about that coming up. Also, I have one more. Okay, so here's my other tweet. So members of Biden's Supreme Court commission were sworn in, all apparently via Zoom because someone was swearing in front of the Roman aqueducts. Okay, so they had their fake background. This is the commission that's looking at packing the court, which is legitimately, accurately the description for what it is. If you didn't win an election and you can't nominate someone to the Supreme Court, then let's just add some seats to it randomly. Come on. So they all apparently did it. Do we know anything about these people? Because it seems as though that they didn't really want to offer you any information about the commission or who the people selected would be on it. We don't know who these people are. These are unaccountable. Who knows who they are that are going to be actually making decisions about our Supreme Court and Constitution? Yeah. So as soon as I get information on that, I'll share it with you. But oh, and Nancy Pelosi is sending out warning letters telling people to follow her mask rule. Thomas Massey just tweeted a photo about 20 minutes ago of her notice in his trash can. And it actually says it literally, this is the correct use of this, says important on the side. Notification of a violation of House something something 38. For the love. But they're all vaccinated. Why? Stop it. We've got more to come, folks. You don't want to miss a single bit of the show. Congressman Andy Biggs is going to be joining us. I'm curious. I'm going to ask him what he thinks about the mask thing, too.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right. So the world's unluckiest thief. Why in the world anybody, first off, I got to tell you, UFC heavyweight Derek Lewis, a dude tried to break into his SUV. And he told the culprit, you picked the wrong car, knocked him out. Knocked him out. Oh, my gosh. And that's literally what he's known for. So he was recording himself on a camera and I can't say what he said. He said, redacted, try to break into my redacted. It's amazing. I love Derek Lewis. And he's, And then he put a picture of his fist on Insta stories and he had, he's okay, like written in the, oh man, that was the wrong, the thief picked the wrong car. He did. Let's see here. So this was, and I got a couple of things. U.S. media's credibility rating stabilizes after years of decline, but only not really. $31 of cocaine bricks washed up on a beach in Alabama. Isn't that not a lot of money for a cocaine brick? I don't know, but I don't know. Anyway, it just seems weird. And, oh man, I got another real gross story. It'll have to wait tomorrow. Andy Biggs is on his way.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
our investments in all of that vital infrastructure have been both inadequate and inequitable. So take our roads, which are earned a D on the most recent infrastructure report card from the American Society for Civil Engineers. One out of every 5 miles of American highways and roads is in poor condition. So we're failing to adequately fund basic road maintenance and repairs, much less invest in transit modernization and electrification. It holds back our economy. This contributes to climate crisis. It harms public health, especially in minority communities.
So that is Elizabeth Warren right there, who is talking. Well, we've had a lot of spending on infrastructure. I mean, how much spending have we had on infrastructure from the Obama administration? I mean, there were two separate pieces of legislation. Well, not legislation. They were kind of legislation, but also EOs that address that whole issue. So I'm just kind of, you know, curious as to how much more we're going to continue spending, particularly when you look at the latest round of spending that's coming from the Biden administration, $6 trillion in total that was asked for in the first 100 days. A lot of it doesn't even kick in till what, 2022? If it's so important now and so timely now, there's a lot of things in here that has nothing at all what to do whatsoever with actual infrastructure. So we are waiting for Congressman Andy Biggs, who is literally coming off of the floor. Yep. And he's their TCB for his people. Yep. He's there taking care of some business. And he has been quite vocal. He represents Arizona's 5th Congressional District, and he's been quite vocal with regards to immigration law as well. And earlier today, I want to share this with you. They released, they have a press release out about DHS Secretary Mayorkas. The claim is that Mayorkas is violating federal law because he was releasing people who entered into the country illegally. They were released within the interior. And this is in contradiction of federal immigration law. And so members of Congress, led by Congressman Biggs here, are demanding that Mayorkas, A, follow and actually implement the law as it is. And then secondly, he needs to answer some questions about what he knows and when he knew it. Because apparently, you know, he has been apparently saying a couple of different things. I was looking at this letter and his testimony when he was before the U.S. Senate committee, it was Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. And that was just last week. He even admitted that the department was not following federal law when it came to releasing people who had entered illegally back into the country. And he said that every person was given what they call NTAs, a notice to appear, for removal proceedings. You would have to then follow up with an immigration judge. We've heard this since the days of the Obama administration. They would be given a notice to appear, then they are released, and then that's how it all goes. Except people don't actually follow up with immigration judges after being released from custody. And that's something that Mayorkas also admitted was not happening. He was saying, no. It's true. They're not actually coming back to meet these judges and go through this process. So he admits that they're not following federal law, which itself, you know, if you're not following it, you're violating it. And so this is what the letter that was sent out. So they're hoping that, and they have a number of questions that they would like for him to ask, including how many NTAs have actually been issued? How many notice to appears have been issued? So, I mean, it's a lot. Congressman Andy Biggs, who just joined, we wanted to give him a minute to get settled because he just ran over here. He's taking care of business for the people in Arizona's 5th District, and he came right over here from the floor. And Congressman, we just want to thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time. And we were just talking about the press release and the letter that you issued today, that you released today, about DHS Secretary Mayorkas, because he admits that they haven't followed the law. Have they even told people how many notice to appears that have been issued to people who've entered the country illegally? Because I can't imagine all these people are following up with an immigration judge after being released.
No, so you're right, Dan, on so many fronts. First of all, they're just releasing people with a notice saying, when we get you to wherever we're going, so we're going to take you. We get them there, and we say, oh, within 60 days, just call the nearest ICE office type of thing. That is not the NTA. And who is calling back? They don't know how many. And Secretary Mayorkas was so ill-informed, if I can put it that way, or had a lack of intellectual curiosity, that he didn't know how many kids were in custody, how many unaccompanied minors that they'd released into the Republic. He had no idea. And so when you start talking about NTAs and this experimental system that they're doing down in the Rio Grande Valley, because Rio Grande Valley was so overwhelmed, you realize something. They're not following the law. That's number one. Number two, they don't intend to follow the law. And number three, they are putting together a system to facilitate bringing people into the country illegally and be the logistic transport for those people anywhere in the country. And so they have no idea how many people those are. They can't give us that information. And by the way, and you're exactly right, how many of those people ever show up again, even with the NTAs? For instance, we have over 3 million people who have removal orders in this country who haven't been removed. They're wandering around the country because we don't keep track of them, because after we give the judicial order to leave, we say, well, we're going to give you a week, 10 days, or whatever, to go put your affairs in order before we put you out of the country. Well, they don't come back. Mm. 3 million people. And all this is going on. It's actually chaotic on the border. I talked to some Border Patrol agents again last night who were telling me they've never seen it like this. Morale is low. And Mayorkas, in my opinion, has got to go because he's not following the law. He's not enforcing the law.
Yeah.
And he's, in my opinion, we'll have to see. But it didn't sound like he was telling the whole truth before Congress when he testified last week.
Yeah. We're speaking with Congressman Andy Biggs. You some of the questions, like, you know, what, how many who have not reported to ICE were arrested by ICE? It doesn't seem like, if Mayorkas isn't going to use every bit of every resource and every bit of authority he has as head of DHS, then what's the point of him being in that position in the first place?
No, I agree with you 100%. That's the deal, is he's not using the law and he's not enforcing it in any way. And then he had the temerity to go out in a press conference and say, yeah, the border is closed. The border is not closed. And they also mislead on the data and statistics that he gave. So when he says, oh, yeah, we're sending most people back, well, maybe you're sending most single adult males back because you have the authority to do that under Title 42 still. But President Biden said you can't send unaccompanied minors back pursuant to Title 42. And they're not sending family units back. They're releasing those into the country. There are some of these kids who are being, thousands of kids are basically on a 3.5 week transfer. So they're in and we hold them in custody for three weeks or so while we're trying to find them a sponsor. Then out they go. And then on the other hand, you're sending families out sometimes within 8 hours of being, we say apprehended, but they're surrendering. So within 8 hours of them surrendering, we're sending them on their way.
Hmm. I was really interested in one of the quotes that Mayorkas gave when he was testifying there before that Senate committee. And he was saying that the previous administration, that the policies were antithetical to not just the needs of the department, but also U.S. values. It's just some of the stuff that he had said. And I know a lot of Republicans were I think a lot of people were quite angry at that. That's not his job to determine. And first off, following the letter of the law is absolutely the spirit of the Constitution and the requirement of this republic. I mean, it comes down to, you know, is this guy in this job to promote an ideology or to actually implement the letter of the law as voters have mandated? That's the big question.
That's a fair question. I tend to think he's there philosophically to support the Biden open borders policy, regardless of what his constitutional requirements and duty are. I mean, he took an oath to obey and follow the Constitution. He did not take an oath to obey and follow the philosophy of a left-wing open borders administration. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what he's doing. I think he's overstayed his welcome. This administration could bring this under control fairly quickly, Dana, but they're not inclined to do so for whatever reason.
Yeah, we're speaking with Congressman Andy Biggs, who just joined us off the floor moments ago. A couple other questions for you real quick, Congressman. I know your time is valuable, and we appreciate you joining us. administration, because we there's a lot of questions about why hasn't the vice president, I mean, how many days has it been now? She's the border czar, so to speak. She hasn't yet been to the actual border. She has gone to, I think, what she said she was looking at towards Central American companies, the triangle, and that it's the climate, it's the breakdown in those countries and violence in those countries that's causing the surge in migration. Those issues with regards to breakdown in certain countries with government rule and violence in countries and drug violence, et cetera, these issues have always existed. To say that isn't to sanction or agree with it, but those issues have always existed. It seems that the real changing factor here is the policy at the border and, you know, the Remain in Mexico program, you know, so on and so forth. Because while we still saw these instances under the Trump administration, we didn't see it even at peak during spring. We didn't see it anything like this. So maybe they should address that.
You know, that you're exactly right again. I mean, so when he came in, the first thing he did was the President Biden, he got rid of the Remain in Mexico policy and he killed 12 international agreements, including with the Northern Triangle states, on asylum and holding folks and keeping them in their countries. Well, what does that do? That immediately incentivizes them. What's the other thing he did? He said Title 42, which is designed to send people back out of this country because of COVID concerns. He said that's not going to apply to unaccompanied children anymore. Well, guess what? We're seeing a record number of unaccompanied children. The cartels are a business. They were incentivized then to start sending those people over. So Kamala Harris it's been almost 60 days since she was tasked with fixing the border. She hasn't been down to the border. She's not going to come to the border because then she'd have to walk into some of the facilities like I've walked into over the last month or so, where you see kids piled side by side in small places where it's overcrowded. They've got the little metal blankets. You can go see the single adult males that are maybe there's 250 of them in a holding facility for 75. You know, and there would be cameras there to take pictures of them with them. Our Border Patrol is doing their best, but this administration is putting their resources into what? In not stopping people at the border and sending them back. They're putting their resources into quickly transitioning them to get them into the country. One of the soft-sided facilities that they recently put up has a sign over it, and it's called a welcome center.
Yeah.
That's the philosophy of this administration.
It's troubling, and I really feel for a lot of these border towns. And I mean, they're Democrat mayors, Democrat politicians in these towns. This is not just like a one-sided criticism of Biden's border policy. I mean, there are Democrat elected officials who are saying this is a hardship on the towns in which we live. It's a hardship on the people here to do this. And one last quick question for you. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was Mayorkas who was the one, you just mentioned those facilities that they were storing. We all saw the video and the photos of these children that I think it was like 70, over 70% capacity. It was, or 70 times more what should have been in there, something like that. These holding areas were so full of kids, there was not even room to lay down. Mayorkas, from what I understand, they had emptied out one facility and just relocated the kids. And then after the facility was emptied, then the press was invited in to look at it. And then they were told, oh, well, no, we've really reduced it. We really have a handle on what's happening at the border. It was Mayorkas that was really trying to sell this to the press, was it not?
That's my understanding. And what we're talking about is the old Soviet style Potemkin village. We're going to set up something and fool you, and we're going to use you as useful idiots to get out there and tell the American people that everything's A-okay, but it's not. Thank goodness for Democrat Henry Cuellar in Congress, because he's the guy that got pictures and sent them out saying this is inhumane what they're doing. But then this administration quickly went into correct-all mode. They took out some liquid erase stuff and started erasing whatever was there. They started scrubbing it down and brought in media to try to rebut that. But the fact that remains, we have more kids in custody than we have ever had before. And that's all on this administration. And Mayorkas is the secretary that has to answer to that. And he's basically, in my opinion, he's not dealing straight with the American people. And that's why he should go.
Yeah, neither. are his bosses, the VP or the president. They don't even really want to address it, which is sad. They'll address everything else, but not this. Congressman Andy Biggs from the beautiful state of Arizona. So good to see you. Thank you so much for what you're doing. We appreciate your time today. I know you hustled over. I know you were running off that floor, so we appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dana. Good to be with you.
You too. Take care.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
I think the CDC sent a powerful message. It said, if you are vaccinated, you can start to act differently, particularly outside. But with the clear boundaries, if you're in a hospital setting or a nursing home, a school, your places where people are tightly packed, mass transit, it's still smart to have the mask on. I think that's common sense. But remember, it's if you are vaccinated, you get more.
More freedom is what that word was supposed to be. Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
If you're vaccinated, then you can have more of the freedom.
My freedom doesn't belong to him.
Yeah, I know. Like, who says that you get to hold my freedom?
Right.
We didn't give you our freedom. We didn't let you have any of it. We didn't tell you that you could be the babysitter of freedom. Who made you the bouncer? Sit down. Go eat some more fries. Today in Stupidity Kane.
All right, looks like Biden has another corn poppy type moment when he falsely claims his grandfather was a coal miner. Listen to this.
My dad used to say, Joey, and I swear to God, when he left Scranton, when coal died, my dad was not he was a salesperson. He wasn't a coal miner. My great-grandpa was, but.
But it's,
his great-grandpa
I think
was.
He got confused.
Was great-grandpa corn pop?
I don't know.
I think he just,
is pop a thing that they say there?
I think so.
Like, that's my pop? Do they call soda pop?
No, that's up in the north, central north part
of
the country.
I will never understand that.
Pop.
Make sure you all subscribe to the newsletter tonight. I'll also be on Hannity this evening as well. Time and topic I'll put up on Facebook, on the official Dana Lash Facebook page. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow. It's Thursday, or as we call it around these parts, Friday Eve.